Father, I just thank you for such a time as this. I thank you, Lord, that we are alive and that we live in this season of your world. There's so many things, amazing things that are happening, Lord, and we want our eyes to be opened. We want to be awakened. We want to be totally alive in the areas of revelation, Lord, that have come from right from your hand, right from your storeroom, right from your heavenly throne. Lord, if they've been released, then we want to be walking in the fullness therein. So we thank you, Lord God, that today is a day where we're taking a step into that place, really opening our hearts to you, that we may be awakened and we may be a receiver and an embracer of the full revelation of your counsel today, Father, for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Two scriptures that just really lit my heart up, I want to start what I have, believe the message is for today with, and that would be Romans 11:11 and John 11:11. Yes, and 11:11 are very important numbers, especially when they're together like that. And I was just browsing the scriptures and thinking about, God, what are you doing right now? What are you saying and doing for us as a body? Obviously, we're sending a team to Ghana. Obviously, we have a team coming up from Mozambique. We are participating in a local outreach. We have all kinds of things going on with Kingdom Kids. We have children who are seeing angels and who are experiencing Jesus. We have little ones who are prophesying. We have older ones who are stepping into that more and more. And Father, we're just seeing something on our horizon here that has grabbed your attention because you're doing it. And yet you are very pleased with the outcome so far. And we're believing that, God. So in these two verses, I believe that there is a relationship, there's a connection, and I believe the Lord's just going to open our minds up today just to start that. And I believe that there's going to be much more after that. So I ask that you take note, that you write them down, that you think about these, that you start praying into these. Amy did a super job last week when she was overviewing Frontline as a house of prayer and what that looks like for Frontline Ministries International and Frontline Worship Center. And she passed out a handout that she had put together with all the different quote-unquote activities where we're seeking the face of the Lord together. And we're seeing how God is moving in our midst. And she tried to highlight those and did a great job. And I pray that that little handout gets on your refrigerator so you can look at it and you can think about it and maybe take some of the dates and put them in your planner and your calendar and things like that. And I believe that as we understand more and more of what that looks like from God's perspective, we're going to see some new things in Frontline very, very, very quickly. The Lord talks a lot about double portion all throughout the scriptures, and I believe that we're in a season where he is releasing double portion in a lot of areas that we need to see spiritually to be able to have. Because we don't just roll into something. We have inheritance, but the Lord says, I'm going to require of you a broken, contrite, humble spirit, and we'll talk about that a little bit, that will enable you to see and receive. Not just see, but receive. So that's our goal today and the rest of our life, to see, to hear, and receive what we're seeing and hearing. Okay, Father, I'm going to read Romans 11:11, which is speaking about the restoration of Israel. And I thank you, Lord, for this precious word, and may you awaken our hearts in dealing with your chosen people, dealing with Israel, to go into a deeper place in the Spirit, that we would be able to contend for the very things on your heart which you are contending for and desiring for your children. You're cheerleading us, Father, and you're rallying for us. Romans 11:11, I say then, they did not stumble, Israel, so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. I'm going to read verse 15, since we're in that same book right now. Just skip a couple down. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Now, this is really significant. Let me read it again. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So by the transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke Israel, actually, to jealousy of what we Gentiles have. Israel is destined to become very jealous for the Lord, jealous of who we are, what we have. And Israel is going to be provoked to that jealousy. And we are also, there's kind of a synergy there, are provoked to jealousy in a good sense for what Israel has been designated by God to walk in. Okay? Kind of deep to start out, but what the heck? Let's get a little power punch here. So we really need to wake up. We need to grow up. Remember we've talked about pamperless times, you know when you're training your little ones, 2 and 3 or whatever, to, or between that, for potty training, and you're so excited when they actually take their diapers or pampers off, throw them down, and they run to their little potty seat. You know, it's like, whoa, they took their own pampers off. And that's really where we are in this season. The Lord is saying it's time to be free-flowing in every good way. And so with the idea of Israel coming into the place that God has called them to in this wave, in this day and in this age, we are part of that. We were part of that from the beginning. Israel was is God's chosen people. Everything started with Israel. Everything started with our forefathers, with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the rest. Everything was opened up to the Jews. Everything, as far as the revelation of the Lord, came right through that line. And then there was this screeching halt where there was not the ability to step into the salvation that we now are able to enjoy, the Gentiles, those who are not of the Jewish origin. However, from the very beginning, these ones who took advantage of all of the firsts, they were the firstborn in the sense that they were privy to the hand of God because he decided to bring the Jewish Messiah from the Jewish realm. And so this is God's deal. God is very, very, very serious about Israel. Very serious. And he's so serious about Israel that he is making sure it's getting international acclaim and attention. Would you say that's true? I mean, this little squat drop box of a little country, you know, that's all over the news. It's just amazing to me. I think about this and I go, oh my gosh, it's so small. You know, but everyone is screaming about Israel, and our own beloved president, who we are called to pray for, has been speaking and making declarations that he may not understand the ramifications of his mouth, and he needs our prayer so that Frontline, along with in America, is partnering with God's plan for Israel, not anybody else's. It needs to be what God is saying. And so it would behoove us to listen very carefully to the news and then think about what's going on in light of some of the scripture verses I'm going to share, and also what has been shared in this body that you are aware of, and anything else that you know. Because the Lord is saying, pay attention, kids. Now, you have said that you want your pampers off, and you're going, yeah, yeah, I'm radical. I don't want to be nominal. I want to be radical. Radical is normal to God. He's saying, this is on my heart. I want you to get this. Your children's future is at stake. As the little children were running around while we're praying for many of the parents or grandparent, in this case, you know, I'm looking at the little children going, Lord, I don't even believe that we have a clue of how big this is going to become, because you have already set things in motion, because you're so intentional, you know, that's one of my favorite words, and very serious about the restoration of Israel, about the last days, what you're doing in all of the countries in the Middle East, and how they all affect or don't affect Israel, because Israel is your love. Israel is your firstborn, in a sense, and that we stem from that. We all have a Jewish heritage in that sense, as we're part of Jesus, of course. But the Lord wants to check our understanding and check our hearts to see if we give a rip at all. Because if we don't give a rip, really, because we're busy with home and children and you name the list goes on. If our hearts have not captured, aka been awakened to what God is saying, we must step into and partner with, then we just lose out, okay? Because the plans are in motion, the steamroller is moving, and the ship is in the deep waters. And the Lord's saying, who's joining me? And those who have eyes to see and ears to hear will join. And God will release greater resurrection power and anointing, the glory, the favor, and the revival spirit that he's already doing in all over the world. He's saying, Is that for you? Is that for your life right now? Individually. You know, we must come to each other and encourage and strengthen one another. So if we're shrinking down or falling back, the others are picking up and undergirding and saying, come on, let's go. We can do this. We can make this together. That's why it's so important to have covenantal relationship and family ties. This is a covenantal body. There have been a variety of messages that have been given about the Lord's release of his covenantal heart into us as a body of people. We can call it a tribe, call it a family, but the ones that will stand in the world today and really carry the glory the way that I'm speaking about and more will be those who are in covenant. It's extremely important. And in the early church, I was reading, I love Acts. I just love reading the book of Acts, saying, oh God, this is just great. We're just going to go way beyond Acts. Hoo-hoo! And he's saying, yeah, but you really need to get Acts first. I know, but I'm thinking way ahead, Lord. It's just a really great, you know, wonder, signs, miracles. Oh! And he says, I know, but they understood that to a degree. When Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2, oh my goodness, the mighty rushing wind came and the Spirit of God came and there was a release and thousands got saved. It was an amazing revival, an outbreak of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. We're familiar. We say yes. If we're not walking in at least that, we've got issues and problems. And that's not what I'm speaking about today. I'm moving past that because we all know that we have to deal to be able to walk with pamperless. We really do. So you know that? I'm moving past that. So Acts chapter 2 is already done deal. And the Lord says we need to be flowing in Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and 16 and the list goes on because there's so much more. It's like, what? So what do we need to know from all this? All right, let's track back to John 11:11 or track over there. John 11:11. This is about the death and resurrection of Lazarus. 11:11, alignment. Do you love the number? Isn't that so cool? All right. Alignment for Israel, alignment for Lazarus. Huh? There's a picture in the New Testament here God's giving us, and let's read it together. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. So Jesus is going to go. Obviously, you know the story. We don't need to go through this. If not, read it, please. But we're moving past that Lazarus died, and Jesus and Mary and Martha, these are all buddies, they're friends, and Jesus goes after he's dead, and he calls them forth, and he says, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus comes out, and he's in grave clothes. Okay, can you imagine what that looked like? As this unwrapping comes, as these grave clothes of death come out, and then he's awakened from his sleep. What? Come on, the guy's dead. He's physically dead, but he's spiritually alive, in the sense that Jesus says, I have already touched him. I have already released my glory. I have already started something. I already have breathed on Lazarus. So I'm going to say, Lazarus, wake up. Come forth. Wake up. It's an awakening time. It's a picture of what the Lord is doing for us right now. He's saying, I am in awakening mood, and so I'm awakening every heart that I've already breathed life into. And that's virtually, if not everyone here. I'm looking around. I know everyone here. Yeah. And if we don't know Jesus, we need to. It's time to allow him to breathe the life that has already been in us in a new way and bring a new level of awakening. This is the awakening. It's going on all over. And the Lord says, it's not for one place. It's for the whole world, because I am intended to wake up Israel, and you're part of it, because I see you. Get this one. I see you as one. We sing about being one, but if we think it's just us and him and we're one, cool. I'm going to go the rest of my life. I can get wrapped up in my family and my finances and this and that and the other and stay there and miss so many other areas. Nothing wrong with family and finances. We went to see Thomas the Train yesterday as a family, so I'm all about family. So family's great, But I'm saying that God is saying, I am revealing things on another level that you want to hear, you want to rally with, so that the very ones that we're loving and nurturing and bringing up in the faith are tracking with us in a much higher level than we were at their age. It's true. And it's for now. It's not for 10 years from now. Give me a break. I'm doing the best I can. The Lord says, it's for right now because I'm God and I'm revealing. I'm the one who awakens from slumber. It's time for this awakening. It's time for us to absolutely contend for the greatest awakening in our own spirit possible right now. That's between us and the Lord. That's the oneness that he's talking about. He won't relent and he'll have our hearts for what? That we can just enjoy each other alone? Yes and no. Yes, he wants us to be enjoyed and to enjoy us, but there's a much bigger picture along with that because of his intentionality for the entire world, because he's drawing in Israel. He's drawing in all of us who are part of Israel and what's going on there. When the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, why? Because it's a little country that's in trouble and everybody wants to blow it off the face of the map? Yes. And no. Of course. But it's because there are very strong spiritual undertones. And they're not so under. The Lord's really, you know, he's very straight. And he's very smart. He's very logical. He's not natural. He's very spiritual because he's spirit. But he's very, very clear on what he is doing. And he's just looking for any of us who want to partner with that. You know, that awakening will take us to a place where we're charged. We feel charged in our life. It's like I get up in the morning and I feel charged, even if I'm doing the same thing over and over and over. Raising kids or going to work or going to school or whatever it would be. But I'm charged. I'm electrified. If I'm not charged and electrified, you don't want to spend the rest of your life hoping that somebody can help you get charged and electrified. Because that's just, you know, we don't want to leave this world someday and say, I finally got charged and electrified. There's more than that. So let's move that direction together and let's really have the eyes to look and see if we can help each other out to get there in this season. It's a good time to be alive. It's very, very exciting. As I was thinking about what Jesus was saying about Lazarus coming alive, I was reminded of the call that the Lord has for Israel in the terms of restoring and bringing them into their fullness. As you know, in 1948, Israel became a country, became a state. And at that point, people from all over the world, the Jews from all over the world, started coming back to their homeland. All of it's prophesied. Ezekiel is a great book to read, especially chapter 37. So note that. Write it down. 37. Can't do it all today. If you really want to get targeted on also more of restoration of Israel and end times, look at Isaiah 60 through 62, those chapters. You'll read that and go, whoa, wow, yee, wow. And we're going to start spending a little more time on some of those areas. Maybe there'll be a class coming up, but we're going to be talking about some of those things, not wrapped up in end times. We're wrapped up in the now and also the future that the Lord's bringing into the now. So we're going to do some more. We want to understand some of these things. But it's extremely important because the Lord speaks to us and tells us that the glory that we're contending for, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, shall what? Cover the earth as? Okay, the earth, does that include us? Does that include Israel? It's the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is coming. That means that we're going to be stepping in to knowledge and understanding and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which releases the glory of God. And the glory of God, we sing about the glory. I was listening to the songs today and thinking, God, what are you speaking to each one of our hearts right now? Are we limiting what you are intending from us going, Lord, let your glory come? It's like a child saying, Lord, or mommy or daddy, I want Christmas to come because I get some presents. Well, we all know there's a whole bigger picture for Christmas, but a child can only see what he or she can see. There's limited seeing and understanding. The Lord's saying, I want to increase You're seeing, you're understanding. So when we're contending for the glory, we're contending rightly for the glory. What is your glory? What does it mean to contend for your glory? Oh, I feel your manifest presence here. Yes. What do we do with this manifest presence? What does he want to do with that? He wants to make himself known because he's spirit, he's supernatural, signs, wonders, miracles. He's all about populating heaven and restoration, revival, aka resurrection. Resurrection. He has breathed life into all of us, and he's saying, I want you to flow in resurrection power. I want you to flow in resurrection glory. I want you to flow in resurrection anointing that flows and covers every part of your world and the world that the Lord wants to connect us into, which is, go ye. Right? Mark 16, go ye into the world, all the world, and make disciples of all nations. Right? Baptizing them. When we go ye, as you go, which we prayed, which we sing, we've had words about, but as we go, then these signs shall follow them who believe. And we know what they are, don't we? In your name, we will, what? Cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. What else?
What?
What'd you say, Dylan? Blind and the deaf, just release the healing and anointing power of God. But point being, we will be so supernaturally acclimated and flowing that we will, the trust that we will have for the Lord, I hear this one, will flow into trust for people. Because we just, you know, our stuff will not rule us. Our houses, our finances, our things that we, you know, we need our little structures to exist, and God's pleased with that. But God's going to give us a new way of looking at these things. The Lord is saying, everything really, really belongs to me, and I've entrusted you with these things. So you will be able to trust. You can trust the Jesus in me. I can trust the Jesus in you, because this type of release of glory will cover the world, cover the earth. And this type of release of glory will enable us, as we partner with this and contend for it as well, will enable us to just trust God. Say, it's really okay. Take my little life. I'm going to Ghana. I'm going to Mozambique. I'm going. Or I'm helping others go. Because the go is so strong in my heart. It's not just because it's Frontline Worship Center. It's a go that propels. This go inside propels us. You see, God's working on many levels here. You're hearing a lot of different things during this message. Well, I can't follow her. If you're thinking that, think about resurrection and say, Lord, awaken me. Awaken me right now. Because the Lord is speaking on a lot of different levels, I believe, right now. Speaking about Israel, speaking about resurrection, speaking about the glory, but they all flow together. Okay? But I'm going to help you understand a little more. So turn in your Bibles to, let's see, 1 Kings 17, 21 through 22, a little resurrection passage, and this will help the team. You know, as you're finding that, when the team goes to Ghana, if they are not able to impart and cast vision, which they will be able to do, to those that they will be leading, that they will be ministering to, on a larger scale, dealing with the leaders, the pastors and the leaders and such, you know, for the Kingdom Bible School part that they're going to be doing. If they cannot impart that you were created for more than this, you were created to carry, to become a lover, but you're created for a big, big, big picture, and let me help paint that picture for you. As they watch the construction, as they see the well in process being dug, as they see the land, the building adding, being having two rooms added to it, if they're on the land. If they're sitting, let me give you this picture. If they're sitting on our land of virtually 22 acres, and the key leaders of 14 branches are there with whoever with them. So 20-some people are there, and some other leaders. And they're there. Our team has a responsibility as releasers of the glory to release power for healing and deliverance. Let's get them healed, saved, delivered. Yes, 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 and yes. But also, because they're pamperless, they're going to say, Holy Spirit, what is the bigger picture and what are you doing for them to be part of so that they can begin to dream with you, they can begin to receive their inheritance, they can begin to contend, that they can see that living in Africa is destined for them right now, and it's really important to God because God is releasing Africa and burning a fire in Africa that will have a bearing on Israel. You may think, well, they don't need to know that. Oh, yes, they do. To some degree. Why? Because you cast vision and you speak out the bigger picture if you have it. If you have a revelation of some things that God is doing right now in this world because we're living in that time. And I'm just speaking about the Ghana team because they're going somewhere not new to them, but it's new this week, right? And so there will be a newness that God brings. But think of your own life now. I need to understand the bigger picture. I need to be burdened in my heart for what God is doing in Israel or for Israel or what the enemy is trying to do to stop what God wants to see happen in Israel. I need to be aware. I need to understand so that I can see that the glory, the revival glory that God's bringing to bring in the largest, maybe potentially from what Scripture says, as far as we can see, the biggest end time harvest ever. I mean, that's what's being prophesied. And so it's like, well, Lord, I better understand that. I don't just come in and say, you need to be saved. You see? You have this in your heart and in your vision as casters of glory, casters of his vision, so that when the time is right, whether you're one-on-one, let's say with the Ghana team, preaching or talking to a Muslim one-on-one or somebody else, that we have this inside of us so that we are completely on fire for the bigger picture, the worldwide picture, bigger than anything else. Why would a child take off their pampers or his pampers? Why? Because they want to do something new? They want to try and discover something better? They're uncomfortable with the way it had been? Probably all of the above, but also with that, get this, they were designed to do that. So that's part of their designing at some point. And so they're taking steps. And so we are taking these steps. If we can think of the glory that way and the revival history that's, we're not going to go into too much today, maybe another day, then God can open up our eyes to be able to really have this kind of heart that cares. It's like, yeah, I know there's a bulletin back there in the overflow room, and it's all about Israel. It's really pretty. It's blue and white. I mean, Andy did a great job. But what the heck does it mean? I will offer you an opportunity. Andy shared, I forget when it was, recently, and we videotaped what he shared about Israel and the Middle East, and it was good. And if you want to borrow that DVD, if you were not here, let me know. That would be great. And it's a step just to get a better understanding of the larger picture so that we can pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Okay, so just hang with me here if you're going, oh, what does this have to do with me? Everything. It really does. 1 Kings 17, 21 through 22. In that scripture, Elijah is raising up a small child, and he lays on the child. He actually stretches out on the child three times. And the child, then he speaks to the Lord, and then the child comes back to life. This is wonderful. Elijah walked in the resurrection power, raising from the dead. We're going to see more of that physically, but also spiritually. Physically and spiritually. This is what I'm trying to say. When we say, the Ghana team will be raising people from the dead, physically, spiritually, this happened in a physical way for us to see. Okay, now check out 2 Kings 4 in verse 34. Second Kings 4, verse 34. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. This is a picture now of Elisha. Elisha, who followed his father, Elijah, followed him, was trained up by him, wanted everything Elijah stood for and had, and walked in just the powerful super gifts, the power gifts. So he laid on this child, laid on this person, but he also put his nose and his eyes and his hands, you know, right into this child, or as a life-giving picture, also a breathing life over this child. But still, he contended, he asked the Lord, you do it, God, it's the Spirit of God. But the child or the person was raised up. So here's two examples of resurrection, one for Elijah, one for Elisha. But the idea here is that both walked in resurrection power, but there was another release for Elisha, because Elisha was being given the double portion. And so he is breathing over this child or this person, and he's stretching out just as Elijah did. It's interesting. Looking at the ways Elijah did this, doesn't have to be that way, but this is a picture for us, because Elijah is also a picture of Jesus. So Elisha is following his leader, his master, his spiritual father, and receiving the anointing to do the same and more. And when you study the lives of both of them, of Elijah and Elisha, and you look at the power, the great miracles, if you will, the big miracles, we call them. Elijah has about 7 that we know of that are recorded, like boom, boom, boom. It's like, wow, raising from the dead. Wow, wow. And Elisha comes in with 16, I believe it is. I think it's 16. 16, more than double. 16. It's like, okay, so what does that mean? The Lord is increasing, and he's bringing restoration, and he's bringing a release of greater glory between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. These are the apostolic ways that God has for us. And he's saying, you've heard messages about father's love, get it, because I want you to work to walk in a release of the apostolic ways that I have for you, because things will go well for you and better. Okay, also he says in Malachi, so this is all going to be pulled together. I'm just throwing the scriptures out so you can write them down and think about it. But Malachi in 4, 5, and 6, if you want to turn to that, the Lord says that he's restoring the hearts of the fathers to the children, the children to the father. Let's look at that for a minute, because I believe God's going to open our eyes to see something we may have forgotten or maybe didn't know. Now keep in mind, Elijah and Elisha. Okay, Malachi 4, 5, and 6 says, behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet. Okay, some versions say the spirit of Elijah. Okay, I'm going to send you Elijah, or a spirit of Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Verse 6. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Now, the release of father's love, okay? Jesus said, I'm leaving because I was here on earth. I'm leaving to go be with my father. See you guys. And I will send to you another helper, Holy Spirit. Picture of father and son here. Here we have a prophecy that the spirit of Elijah is coming before the end, and we are in the last days, especially with the restoration process really increasing with Israel, and Israel becoming a state in 48, or country in 48, and now so much conflict and chaos and such is going on and surrounding Israel while people are still trying to come in and make Israel their homeland. They're being gathered up from all over the world. That's God's plan, and he's going to come back to Jerusalem. He's very intentional about this. He does not want Israel destroyed. He does not want it obliterated. Israel is God's son. Okay? If Israel's God's son, what does that make us? We're also God's sons and daughters. But if we're God's sons and daughters, if we get the process right, who came first? Israel. Who came next? Us. We have the revelation of the cross right now. Israel isn't quite tracking there, but they will. And when they do, in the degree or to the degree that God is giving to them, there is going to be such an explosion of glory and power. The Bible says it's going to spill all over the world. These things are happening simultaneously. What's that have to do with Elijah? Everything. Because Elijah was the first. Elisha followed Elijah. And that resurrection power in both of them, what was released in the Old Testament, that resurrection power and that glory anointing came in an order. So you have a picture of a father and a son, or the first and the second, if you will. But things increased in intensity, in glory, because that's the way of the kingdom. It's the way of the kingdom with fathers, spiritual fathers and mothers, and spiritual sons and daughters. It's the same thing. So if a spiritual father is being raised up to take his or her place, because it's a generic name, and you got spiritual children who are still wearing Pampers, you're going to have a problem. Not going to go very far. The family's going to be... Who wants to carry, you know, a family with wearing Pampers all over the world? Not going to be able to make the impact that we can. It's much easier to travel with your children when they're potty trained. But the reason that you want all of us to be potty trained together is that we will carry the greater glory together. So now we have the revelation of fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. The revelation, this is very, very, I'm giving you like a snippet of a snippet so that you can dream and think like, whoa, I never thought of it that way. Hey, that's good. We'll take that. That's a good start. But God is wanting us to see the significance of Israel from his perspective has to do with the firstborn. Really. Jesus was the firstborn among many brothers, it says. He was, when he came as the second Adam, because Adam was the first. But Jesus came to clean up Adam's mess, if you will. But he was the first born-again person, if you would. So there's another example of first and second. And Jesus came to restore. Jesus is the restorer. So if Jesus is the restorer, that means that he is restoring right now Israel to her place, and we have a very significant part in that. And if our hearts don't track with that, if our legislation doesn't track with that, if our prayers don't track with that, if our money doesn't track with that, if we are not partnering with what God is saying and doing, we step back, not that we're against God, but we're not going to receive the revelation and the outpouring of the glory to the degree that we can. I believe the Lord's saying that the double portion is for us right now. And he's saying, how much do you want? All of it. And I believe he'll step us up for the mission team, and they'll, as they are going out and thinking about some of these things as well, that many of them may already know some of this or all of it. But it's an increase because we're releasing it over the body together. God is saying, this is time for our eyes to be awakened, to learn more, to understand more. Let me give you a couple other scriptures to try to pull this in. This is so good. Jewish awakening. Oh, boy. Thank you, Father, for awakening spiritual fathers and awakening and mothers and awakening us, Lord, to our roots that we really do come from so that that release of power is here for us. All right, let's turn in our Bible. Remember, I started this with Romans 11:15. I was reading that last night going, oh, that's right. Romans 11:15. This is about raising from the dead. Israel's been in a slumber. They're being raised from the dead. That means that you're raising me from the dead to partner with them. So any part of me that has been in slumber land, you've already breathed life on into me, and you're just waiting for me to come out of my slumber because I carry your new life. I carry your new life. Okay. All right, let's look at Ezekiel 37, 12 through 14. And then I'm going to cast a vision for you from Brazil and close it up here. Are you enjoying this? I hope so. You're still here. Ezekiel 37, 12 through 14. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves. Who are in graves? Thank you. And cause you to come up out of your grave, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. It's amazing. This is the Lord. He's very clear about this. Then you will know, verse 13, that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. Verse 14, I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Okay. Turn to Psalm 122, 6 through 9. Psalm 122, 6 through 9, please. Psalm 122, 6 through 9. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Okay. Which one do I want to give you? All right, turn, if you would, to Isaiah 62, verse 1. Just a few to have here. Isaiah 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet, until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch that is burning. Okay, now verses 6 and 7 in the same book. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Thank you, Lord. And Isaiah 61, did I read verse 7? 61, 7. Did I read that one yet? Okay. 61, 7. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. There's the word, double portion. And instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. So the Lord is faithful to release his double portion, and that's also for us. The Lord is saying because of the alignment, because of raising us, from the dead, if you will. When we partner with the Lord in these areas of Israel, and you read about that, what we just said about the prosperity and the safety and the protection and everything to bring them into fulfillment of restoration, and we partner that way with the Lord in any way that he's speaking to us, God promises that to us as well.
That's the idea of Elijah and Elisha as well. That's the idea of spiritual fathers and sons, spiritual mothers and sons, in the idea of being first. If you even think about it from Jacob and Esau. Esau is the firstborn, but he sells his birthright to Jacob, right? And you know, it's amazing how he still regretted this, but he did this knowing that this was what his portion was going to be. I'm not saying we should do that, but the idea of the tradition in spiritual land, if you will, in the kingdom, is that there is inheritance for each one of us, and there is something about being the firstborn or being the first. When we went to Israel, or Brazil, now I'm going to kind of bring it home here. These are just some things to think about. When we went to Brazil the first year in 2000 and... No, first year. I don't think it was five. Was it five? It was five. Okay, I'm wrong. 2005, I thought it was before that. 2005, I thought it was four. Is it five? When we came, when, man, you guys are listening, it's cool. But thank you, I'm fine with that. I like to be accurate, and I wasn't, so thank you. 2005, when we went to Brazil, Pastor Jerseo gave us a word and spoke it over this body and said that you were chosen for this, to break a new place into Brazil, and you are seen by God as the first and the best. Now, that's not for, we're haughty about, we're the first and the best. I'm the king of the hill. No. It was the first. The Lord decided to send us first, which makes it his best for that moment. And so we're the first and the best. And because of that, there's an inheritance for us with the country of Brazil that was God's doing. And Heidi Baker was there shortly before we came, and she had a vision that surrounded that very word. And she knows about this as well for Frontline. And so God sent us there. We've had all kinds of wild things that have happened. And we believe that even through that wildness, good, the bad, and the ugly, that or rough, I should say, not bad, that the Lord is bringing that restoration and bringing what he's already breathed into us. He's awakening and bringing it up to take its place, rightfully so, now in this season. And we've called it out. We felt that the Lord gave us the scripture, gave us the timing. And then this week, we had two surprise Skypes from Pastor Jerseo, back to back, two in a row. And he was almost beside himself, falling into the screen, talking about that very thing that I'm mentioning to you, and talking about the influence that the Lord is now establishing and bringing, which he always does through difficult times if we let him, because it's been the same way on the Brazil end. And he's saying that this is a season and a time. He wants us to go there in November. He's very specific about it. We've already contended and said yes before he even asked, because we knew about it before that. And he asked before that a long time ago. And that would be what we would plan. That he wants to, he has seen the connecting of nations that have to do with Mozambique, Africa, Pastor Jose in Africa, and Israel. So Brazil, Africa, Israel, Ghana is part of Africa, but the Lord is saying, and I won't go into much more detail here today, but there is this triangle from, and the United States is involved in this with Brazil and Israel and Africa, that those who are understanding that God's very intentional and strategic are stepping into and saying, I won't let go, and I will do what you're saying, and I will not do anything but what you're leading me to do, because now you're awakening me and you're showing me what it is. So he's calling forth the newness right now for what he wants to establish in Israel, as there's a great big outbirthing or rebirthing of a missionary movement in Brazil. And God's using us in the area of worship, marketplace business, as well as direct evangelism and some other things. Our worship, our school of worship, it was prophesied 2005 or 6, I don't remember, that they would be going all through Brazil with their worship. And there's going to be a conference in November that we're going to be very active in the area of a marketplace connection with people from various countries, as well as Sao Paulo in Brazil, in the area of worship, the area of missions, and the area of business and marketplace,
and dealing and working with the poor. All of that together, can you believe it that it would have anything to do with the establishment or the reestablishment of Israel? Yes. This is my point. All of this is part of the bigger picture because Jesus will come back and he'll reign and rule and reign in Jerusalem. So we're getting close. And the Lord's saying, the enemy's going to try anything to keep us from seeing these things. Ghana, as having a strategic place in Ghana North that God has established, and we're 100% persuaded and convinced of that, this is part of it. We're telling Pastor Giuseppe all about it. We'll have our own place there for the sake of going into these countries to keep heading north, to keep going. So Africa, as it's being lit on fire with Mozambique, Ghana, and other countries, is all part of this great end-time global release of glory. And as Israel comes into the more of the establishment of who she has been created to be, what our part is to help that happen, there's going to be release of the glory that will also ignite the Gentiles, if you will. So they go hand in hand. It's not one or the other, it's both. And that's why we have to take these things seriously, because it affects us and our kids. And God is wanting to pour a deep love in our hearts for Israel. Not like, okay, I have to, there's the scripture, I've got to. He wants us, as we're worshiping the Lord, oh God, bring to mind Israel. I want to pray for Israel. I want to step out. We were invited by Pastor Giuseppe to go with 300 other pastors, leaders, to Israel next March for very specific prophetic movement. And he's just like, you got to go. That's great. It's like, oh, wow, God, what's happening here? Just to kind of whet your appetite, that when we're talking about, hey, we need to be radical for Jesus, that it's not, okay, I have to. It's, oh my gosh, I live in a season where I don't have to have anything that's hindering me at all. I can run, and I can go, and I can be part of all of this, and my kids who are right in line, or my grandkids, are going to see mommy and daddy, or grandma or grandpa. Okay, or people who aren't married yet, it's coming. It's, you're still going to have spiritual children. Point being, the ones coming behind are going to go, I want what they have. But you don't want them to want what you have if you don't have it. Right? So that's how I look at it for myself. It's like, Lord, I want my children and grandchildren, natural and spiritual, to have everything you've given and released, and more, much more. That's my heart. That's the heart of the kingdom. That's the heart that he has for us, for Israel, for the Gentiles and Israel together. Now, is this making a little more sense now? I see a few heads nodding in a good way. Okay, a couple more verses and we're closing. Thank you, Jesus. Which one do I want to give you here? We need to take a strong stand. Yeah, a strong stand for Israel. When Israel was, that's good, Paul, when Israel was being called forth, and these bones were coming back to life. Flesh was being put on the bones. But what was missing was the Spirit of God, the breath that needed to be breathed into them. They came back. They were starting. But we have to help complete the process. That's God's plan for us. And we'll speak more about the Muslim world later. I don't really want to get into that right now because that's probably overload today. So we need to stand up for Israel while, if there is any persecution, which there is persecution, we need to stand with them. On Tuesday, when you come, and I'm asking you to come on Tuesday. I know we're all gosh darn busy people. Try to come. You know, you may not think this is, you know, even doable for children sometimes, but boy, the anointing is strong, and it flows right over them, whether they realize it or not. But we're going to be praying. I got these handouts from the Global Day of Prayer that we've ordered. And we're going to take this global stand. This is not new for Frontline, like, oh, now we're all about the globe. But if you can make this, please come on Tuesday so that we can keep flowing forward. All right, one more verse and then we're going to pray. So good. If you'll turn to 2 Chronicles 1, two more verses. These were from Pastor Giuseppe. He gave these to me, that the Lord had given him. 2 Chronicles 1, 9 through 11, and 1 Kings 3, 7 through 15. Is this exciting? Is it really? Okay, good. I'm happy. I'm excited. 2 Chronicles 1, 9 through 11. I like sharing my excitement. Okay, here we go. To prepare timber in abundance for me, for the house which I am about to build will be great and wonderful. Now behold, I will give to your servants, the woodsmen who cut the timber, 20,000 cores of crushed wheat. I'm in 2 Chronicles. Maybe it's not 1. I don't think that's it. Let's go to 1 Kings 3, 7 through 15. I may have written this down wrong. To really believe the Lord's going to increase all of us. We're going to leave here very different people as we have had our ears opened and the revelation has come. 1 Kings 3, 7 through 15. It's about Solomon. It's probably 1 Chronicles. I probably wrote it wrong, but it's 1 Kings 3, 7 through 15. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Now remember, Solomon came after David. David's the father, Solomon's the son. Okay, there's another picture here. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Okay, this is the wisdom of Solomon being given by God as part of the inheritance that Solomon is receiving. David is was a man after God's own heart. The next in line was Solomon. Even with maybe some personal issues, he was seen as the wisest man God gave him. The Lord says that there was no one before or after who had the wisdom that he had. So that's a good deal. But he is the second in line. He came after David. So here's David, a man after God's own heart. And the Lord saying, in the son, in the next wave, if you will, I am going to release the great wisdom to be able to execute righteousness and judgment and mercy. And the Chronicles version says basically the same thing. I think it's probably first. I'm just trying to speed it up here for you so you can check it out. But is it second? Different? Oh, I was reading something else? All right, well then I'll let me go back here. 2 Chronicles 1, 9 through 11. Okay, I was reading it wrong. I was in, I think, chapter 2. Now, O Lord God, thanks, hon, your promise to my father David is fulfilled. Now, this is for us now. Think of Elijah-Elisha relationship. For you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge. Do you see it? That I may go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, because you had this in mind and you didn't ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, or you've not even asked for a long life, but you asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may rule my people whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you, and, now this is the key right here, okay? Also, I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor those who will come after you. Okay? So this is a picture, I believe, of what the Lord is wanting us to see that he is doing. He did it for David and Solomon. He'll do it for us. He is saying, I am releasing for those who have the heart of David, for those who are considered to be a person after God's own heart. If that's you, if you're saying, oh God, I'm a worshiper. I worship you in spirit and in truth. I know, Lord God, that I'm going to pursue you and you're relentless until you have my heart. That's the heart of David. And the response to that is what Solomon came into. And that's the inheritance right there. And the Lord says that great wisdom is going to enable us to execute righteousness and judgment, and to see Israel completely restored, to also have riches, the wealth and the honor and everything needed to do that. Everything, the favor of God, all that we've been contending for and saying, God, how does it happen? He says, this is how it is. And the time is now. It's not 5 years from now. It's really now. And when Pastor Juseo gave us these verses, actually months ago, and he gave it to us again, you know, on the Skype, he was saying, do you see? I'm telling you everything. When you speak out acceleration, there's a picture God wants to give. It's not just an empty word. What does acceleration mean? What does it look like? Faster healings? Yes. Faster deliverances? Yes. Faster salvations? Sure. All of this together, but greater influence. People that we do partner with, kingdoms of the wealth of the wicked coming to the wealth, coming into the righteous. The Lord's saying that these kingdoms belong to us right now. If we get this picture and say, Lord, I am a man like, or a woman or a child like David. That's who I am. Nothing less than that. And Lord, I thank you for what you've released to Solomon, his son. And I thank you for that a spirit of Elijah that's coming back. I thank you, Lord God, that is here right now. There's a great awakening that I'm part of right now. And I have got that Elijah heart as well. And I thank you, Lord, for that great increase, and it belongs to me now, but it's for the nations, and I will then develop and cultivate a deep heart for Israel as a result of that. That is the benefit. And then God says, I'm releasing my glory to those who are my worshipers, who are my Davids, who are my Solomons in the good sense, those who step into all these areas. The Lord says, that's who you were created to be, and that brings great joy in the house, peace and joy in righteousness and stability. In the midst of all the stuff that we carry, we rise above the snake line. We rise, we live in that place, and then we have eyes to see. So if someone is hurting and someone is struggling, we have become the message of mercy, and we will go out of our way to try to see what we can do to the very people in this body. We call them back in prayer, and then we sacrifice our time and our efforts to do what we can do, because that's a merciful person. That's the heart of David. David was a merciful man. A man after God's own heart is not just someone who sings and dances. It's someone who carries the very nature of Christ. And this will be the explosion that we have been praying for and looking for as we contend for this and say, count me in, Jesus. Count me in. These are good words. Can you see maybe a bigger picture now? Some things to think about. Okay? And the last thing I want to say is this. Trust me, it is. In Acts chapter 4, the early church had a picture of this. I started out with Pentecost. In Acts chapter 4, people ate together, they lived together, they had a spirit of generosity that was so amazing. Their stuff wasn't their stuff. Their stuff became everybody's stuff. There was such a spirit of release of self and release of goods into others' lives, not just using what we have so that we can bless someone, because we're all still extremely comfortable, but also releasing. There's a releasing anointing that I don't think we understand yet, and it's coming. And the Lord's increasing us to be able to bring in finances, but also release. It's a sowing and a reaping that the Lord's saying, study Acts chapter 4 and see where you fit in that. And then as a result of that, Acts chapter 5, there was another step up in revival anointing. And Acts chapter 6 as well. Only because of time, I don't want to go into it all. I'd love to. I just love Acts. And even in Acts chapter 16, do you know what increased? Persecution increased. Even, wow, Israel? Yeah, I think that's right. But persecution increased as well as provision and glory. So anytime the glory is rising, you can expect there's going to be some stuff that's not feeling so swell. However, thank you. However, when we as we have the release of this glory, the release of this, God's going to do something in our hearts that's going to sustain us, and we will have the fruit that remains. But we will have the eyes to see, and then we're going to see the greater miracles. So if you're feeling like you're getting pinched right now, you're feeling as though this has been a challenging, a difficult, stretching time, and the Lord says, just hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on, and continue to contend for the greater vision, the greater vision, the greater vision. Greater vision brings greater provision, which brings the greater release for our problems. So this is part of that, okay? So when the times get tough and the glory is increasing, we have everything that we need. Mike prayed it out earlier with Psalm 91. He felt really led to do that. And so we're living in a time when, in the last 50, 60 years, prophecy is being has been fulfilled in such great ways, and some of the prophecies that aren't very fun, and there are more coming. So we need to know how to contend and how to wield. We need to understand how to do it. The power's released, we have to know how to wield the power. If we don't know how, we don't know God's kingdom ways, then we'll get stuck in some of the turbulence, and we don't want to do that. We want to keep going. Amen?
Amen.
So Father, I just thank you for this word today. I thank you, Lord God, that we have choices to make in this season. And Father, you've called us here in covenantal love. And Father, the very feelings of I want to run never come from your heart. And I thank you, Lord God, that we run towards you alone. We don't run away from anything that's uncomfortable. We run towards you. We run towards you so that we'll have eyes to see you in the midst of the situations. I thank you, Lord, for the release of your kingdom glory over this house, over this team as they leave on Wednesday. And I thank you, Father, for this revival spirit, the breaker anointing, Father, that will take us into a new zone, a new realm, to stand for the healing and the restoring, the restoration, the full revival, and the release for Israel. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that the words that you have spoken through my mouth today that would contend for the very thing on your heart, Lord, that means so much, that we will step in with new eyes as we listen and watch the news, new eyes and ears. Father, new prayer covering, new understanding, new desires to be able to say, Lord, I want that double portion. I want to walk in that double portion, which is a release of the double glory. I thank you, Lord God, for understanding more and more what that looks like. Father, for the application in here today, for the scriptures that have been released, may they trigger our hearts to a new place, Lord God, to be able to see that our call to the nations from you has greater significance than we might have once thought. And Lord, that we would take it so seriously about how we connect and contend for that which you are leading this body in. And that many others will join us, Lord. And they will come into a level of maturity quickly to be able to do the work of the kingdom that you called us to do. We praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that none of this will be able to be stolen away, so that we can live for things way beyond ourselves. Beyond the now, beyond our job, beyond our family at this moment, and also enjoy the perks of living in a beautiful country that's free. I thank you as we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow, Father, that we will be reminded of the true heroes of the faith. Those who gave their lives, Lord God, so that we could enjoy standing in a church today and hearing about these things and being alive. Father, that we would have a recognition of that we would impart that to our children and grandchildren. Father, that we would see that those who have given their life, who have given sacrifices to really secure the freedoms that we're enjoying right now, need to be honored, and we need to remember the past so that we will be able to have the future and be able to live in the future as well as the present. So thank you, Lord, for that. May we be pricked in our hearts. Let freedom ring, as we heard earlier. Let that bell of freedom ring. Freedom for our own hearts and lives today, oh God. Freedom for our families. Freedom from the things that have hindered us. And Lord, that we would really, really be the ones who ring that bell. And that we're the freedom bell ringers. Father, we're the head and not the tail, and we go forward that way. Bless your name today. Thank you, Lord God. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. If anybody needs specific prayer, I know that Lawrence has a quick testimony to give about his eyes, if he's in here. Yeah. Before we leave, you can come up and receive specific prayer. But he was in California this week, and something happened.
We went to California for my sister's graduation, and we were there for like 4 days, and it's always an exciting, like, relaxing time, and I take a couple extra books because it gives me plenty of time to read. Well, I woke up the first morning, and I was having some problem with my eyes. I'm not really sure what. I was just sitting in the family room by myself. Couldn't read, didn't think much of it, but put the Bible down, just had some prayer time, and then throughout the day, my right eye was bothering me quite a bit. Well, that night, Cynthia and I went out to eat, and then we were driving back, and it started to bother me even more. Woke up the next morning, and I couldn't open my eyes because of the light. Whether I was inside, I couldn't even go outside, but even inside, I had to dim the lights and wear shades, and I could only open it sometimes. So it was really bad, and decided since we were leaving the next morning and I had to drive to the airport that I should probably figure out what's wrong. So we went to a walk-in clinic. They looked at it, didn't really have any idea. They said maybe it's the air. I don't know. I've been to California like 20 times. I don't think it was the air. They said maybe it was the chlorine from the pool. I swim like, you know, 3 times a week. I don't think it was the chlorine. So they didn't really have an answer, but when I went outside for my sister to drive me to the clinic, I couldn't open my eyes. I had them shut. I was covering them with a blanket and still watering profusely. Couldn't open them until I got inside to where the doctor's office was. They prescribed something, some basic general thing. So as we were driving to like a CVS to fulfill the prescription, Pastor Mary Pat called me, started praying for me, breaking things off, and I was able to open my eyes. And within an hour of her prayer, I was able to go outside without any sunglasses or anything. I spent the rest of the day outside in the pool, just kind of enjoying that. I couldn't even open my eyes in this kind of lighting, and now I can go outside and it takes like 30 seconds to a minute to adjust still, but I'm able to open my eyes, and so I was really excited about that.
And I'm not saying this happened to you for a prophetic reason, but one of the first things came to me when I was praying for Lawrence is that this is a sign of a spiritual awakening and spiritual eyes being open as well. So it was a physical distress for him, but there was a quick change because there was agreement, there was partnership, and there was acceleration. And this ties in, I thought about this all weekend, with the message today, that what the enemy intends for evil, God says, I'll bring good out of that. But we must see what he's doing and really be serious about it and be a person who has a heart like David. And the wisdom of Solomon is coming. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for that.